and Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The death toll from what was Hurricane Helene has now reached 45. WLVT-TV reporter Sam Luther is in Cock County in eastern Tennessee.
Sheriff C.J. Ball says seven of his cruisers were lost to the flood, along with a fire truck and rescue squad truck, the storm hitting the heart of downtown.
The jail annex is underwater. The police department's underwater. Everything on the railroad tracks is completely underwater.
It's not clear what the total damage will be, as people hope that their homes, businesses, and loved ones make it out okay.
I have seen stuff in town already today, a flood like I've never seen before.
Vice President Harris and former President Trump will be spending this weekend in battleground states looking for votes. Reporter Brad Gibson says support for the candidates varies by gender.
The latest CBS News election poll shows Harris is winning over women by 7%, while men favor Trump by 8%. Each candidate is concentrating their issues to win with one sex over the other. But scholar Richard Reeves at the Brookings Institution says there's a risk in doubling down.
That requires them to ignore or even at worst pathologize the other side.
But will men be the winning formula when women historically vote more often?
Their turnout rates will not be high enough to make a huge difference.
Brad Gibson for CBS News.
The Israeli military says its airstrikes overnight killed the leader of the Hezbollah militant group Hassan Nasrallah. Israel hit Beirut's southern suburbs again early this morning after a night of the most intense Israeli bombardment yet, which caused thousands of people to flee their homes. Betty Higgins works for UNICEF in the capital of Lebanon, Beirut.
We now have over 500 shelters opening, and the UNICEF team is here on the ground and directing displaced people, some of them who have slept overnight in parks, on streets, in cars.
Hurricane Helene hasn't much affected today's planned launch of SpaceX's Dragon spacecraft to the International Space Station from Cape Canaveral. NASA Commercial Crew Program Manager Steve Stitch.
Had to go back to the hangar for the hurricane and got out there a little bit late. We are vertical at the pad.
American consumers are feeling better about the economy, says CBS News business reporter Jason Brooks.
September consumer sentiment climbed above a reading of 70, a solid move higher from August and above market estimates, thanks to a strong gain in year-ahead business expectations. The University of Michigan says the increase in sentiment was seen across all education groups and political affiliations, with gains in all five of the survey's categories. An increasing number of consumers, however, said their view of the economy will depend on who wins the presidential election.
And this is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. People all over Wisconsin are talking about absentee ballot drop boxes after the mayor of Wausau decided to move one to make a political point. Mike Moan reports.
Voting access advocates secured a victory over the summer when the Wisconsin Supreme Court reversed a near-total ban on drop boxes for absentee ballots. But this past weekend, the mayor of Wausau, a vocal opponent of the option, held a publicized event where he removed one. Sam Liebert, with All Voting is Local, feels it's an extension of those who continue to push false claims about the outcome of the 2020 presidential election.
This is just another part of a larger puzzle of continued voter suppression and trying to have fewer people vote in the upcoming November election.
The mayor defended his actions, insisting he did nothing wrong. Opponents of drop boxes claim they can be tampered with, and prohibiting them can help ensure election integrity. But election policy analysts say they are a proven safe option. All Voting is Local and other advocates called on state authorities to look into the matter. The local district attorney is pursuing an investigation. Even though the state's highest court made this voting tool legal again, local administrators still have the option to decide whether or not to place them around their communities. Liebert says those in leadership positions and the public should know how beneficial drop boxes are in giving everyone a chance to vote.
They help so many types of voters, whether they're voters with disabilities, they're third shift workers, they're single parents, all types of people benefit from having ballot drop boxes.
Earlier this month, a similar controversy arose over guidance from the Dodge County Sheriff's Office to local election clerks. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Lots of sunshine today. Highs around 80 degrees. Clear tonight. Lows around 51. Sunshine and upper 70s for Sunday. On Monday, sunny 78 and then turning cooler for Tuesday. Sunshine with a high near 62. 63 Wednesday.
Right now, it's 55.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll be back from California and be catching up on the news as well as Wisconsin events. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks outside the box and hates cliches, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. What is your favorite raunchy comedy of all time? It could be in the last 20 years, the last 50 years. It don't matter. What is your favorite raunchy comedy? 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. We've had some good ones. Animal House, Old School, Caddyshack, Dumb and Dumber. Who said Porky's?
Well, Porky's, I don't think anyone said it yet. I just think
it's just the best name.
Jim from Appleton said Porky's.
Yeah. Kentucky Fried Movie, Tom from New Berlin. Yeah, Animal House, The Van I have not seen, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, great one. Yeah, I don't know. I would probably go last 20 years, Old School, maybe of all time. I don't even want to say Animal House. So many of the things that happen in these movies, though, are so unacceptable and inappropriate today. You feel weird saying, like, I only like it because it's like a sense memory. It takes me back to a time when I just liked watching any movie.
Mm.
But I would say maybe Old School is my all-time favorite.
You know, after last night when we were talking about it, I got home and I was like, well, nah, I got to watch it now.
Old School?
Yeah.
Oh, you watched it? Oh, nice.
My favorite scene is when Blue is in the...
The mud wrestling or whatever.
It's so great.
And he keels over. And the funeral is funny, too. When Will Ferrell is...
He gets a divorce right at the funeral.
He gets a divorce at the funeral. He's like, she says what she wants. He's like, all right, good stuff. Yeah, keep on trucking. No, it's a great... I mean, I like Todd Phillips as a filmmaker, but that's my... Top to bottom, it's just great. The competition is great. When they do the gymnastics and the dance routines and all that kind of stuff. And Jeremy Piven is hilarious as the dean. And it kind of wraps up together. Oh, yeah. It's strong all the way through. It's a great movie. Absolute great movie.
I don't think I weighed in yet.
Oh, you haven't? Yeah.
It's called Date Movie. And it's like one of those spoofs. It plays on like 4, 5, 6 different movies. It's a raunchy comedy, but it's a spoof also. Okay. And the reason being is I found it when my brother and I used to live together, like when we grew up, I found it in his room. I was like, I think I was like,
what do you mean? Like under the mattress or something?
So funny thing is hidden? He actually had a little locker in his room and I knew where he hid the key. So I would always, I think I was 8 or 9. It was a DVD. I put it in. In his, because I didn't have a TV in my room. He did. So I put it on his TV and started watching it at the end of his bed. and he came in and saw me watching.
Oh, no. Awkward moment in the Krieger house. Were you just like sitting there, eyes wide open? Like, yes. What am I watching?
Yes.
Is it like a dirty rated R movie or something?
It is very, very raunchy.
All right, let me make sure I got the title straight.
Date
movie.
Date movie.
Just date movie. Who's in it?
Oh, I don't need, like, it is one of the dumbest movies you ever watch. It's that like really stupid humor.
Oh, man. From 2006?
Yes, that's yeah, it.
Okay.
Date movie.
Allison Hannigan from American Pie, yep. Adam Campbell, Sophie Monk, Eddie Griffin.
I remember one of the...
Fred Willard, love it.
One of the movies they spoof is My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Okay.
And I think Spider-Man's in there somewhere. Napoleon Dynamite.
Is this terrible? It's a terrible movie?
I mean, it's funny. It's just so stupid.
Like, this is a great... Like, Fred Willard is in it. Jennifer yeah. Coolidge is she plays Roz Funky Erdoder. So I have to. All right, this.
You have to sit down and watch it.
I think I'm going to have to check it out now.
I think it's on Hulu, actually.
Fred Willard is one of the funniest people in the world.
Yes,
and he was in an adult movie theater. You know, the kind guys go in and wear trench coats and whatever. And I was like, when he got arrested, I was like, oh, it was kind of depressing to hear that. I'm like, oh, I love Fred Willard. He wanted to do The Godfather of Green Bay, the film I made years ago. He was one of the first people to sign on. I didn't even have all the financing yet. By the time we got the financing, he was on to other stuff. But Fred Willard got busted in an adult theater. And I was kind of a little bit like, oh, man, he seemed like such a normal guy, whatever. And now I'm older, whatever. It's his life, whatever. But the best thing about this is Fred Willard stayed true to comedy. When he was leaving the police station, I believe, I'm paraphrasing the story, a reporter asked him if he had a comment about getting caught in the movie theater by the police. He said, Fred, what do you have to say? And he says, the movie was terrible. I mean, that's just the guy's brilliant. He's so funny. So I am going to watch that movie because I like anything with Fred Willard and I like anything with Jennifer Coolidge. That's hilarious. All right, we're going to go to the stream here. We got a couple texts. Craig Kinnett, who will be on the show Monday night, says Schmitty's salsa. Love it. I don't know what that means, Craig. Please clarify. Craig also says, J.B. Thompson, definitely a guy worth knowing. Great interview. Thank you, Craig, and thank you for listening. And I agree. J.B. is a fun guy and a good guy. He's brought us several great guests here at Nightlight. So that's been fun. But if you want to get in on the question of the night, you still can. You can text us, and we will read it on the radio. What is your favorite raunchy movie? So, all right. And then we've got other – we got to get to some quick change clips. But you're going to the Packer game.
I am, yes.
Can I say that word just in the general sense of the show?
Green and gold versus the purple people eaters.
No, but seriously, I mean...
I actually don't think we can say it, to be honest.
I find that really weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
I get in the Maybe. Context of a trademark situation where
yeah.
you're making money off it or whatever, but I can't say...
I think... Yeah, it's a tough thing to just...
I think we can't say it in the context of a contest or something.
Yeah, okay.
So I think you can say Packers on this show. Yeah, Mike Clemens, when he does his sports yeah, stuff, he says yeah. Packers. All right.
Well, now our promo would be even more funny.
Yeah, because we're trying to be, but that was intentional. You know?
It was.
So how did you get tickets and where are you sitting on Sunday?
So actually, my whole family has been in the, you know, the season ticket thing for,
yeah,
I think my dad entered me when I was a baby. He's been in it for a while. My grandma finally got to the gold package where you get four tickets against seasonal division opponents, you know.
Okay.
So she got those four tickets, and I'm on one of the first games of the relatives. She's going. My aunt is going, I believe, and then I am. So... That's how we got the tickets. I actually don't know where the seats are.
You kind of have to control yourself then. It's not like you're going with the guys or some younger no. friends.
Actually, you know, I'm just happy.
No F-bombs.
I'm just going to be happy to be there to see. It's going to be a great game.
Vikings are good.
Regardless of who starts this week, Malik Willis or Jordan Love, It's going to be a fantastic game.
Yeah. And we'll expect a full report on Monday.
Yes.
All right. So, like we talk about on this show from time to time, New Wisco Weekend is a great show. It's on at 8 o'clock Saturday morning. Is it 8 o'clock Saturday, 11 Sunday, or 11 Saturday, 8 Sunday? I can't remember.
So, it's 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock on Sunday.
On Sunday.
And then later on Saturday.
So, 11 o'clock. Okay. Yeah. So, it's a great show. Lisa yes. Hale does a great job. I contribute a classic movie pick every week. Todd Michaels provides the voices. Conrad talks about sports. My movie pick this week for the classic film is one that flew under the radar. It's called Quick Change with Bill Murray, Gina Davis, and Randy Quaid. And hometown acting legend for Green Bay hometown, that is, Tony Shalhoub is in the film too. And he plays a cab driver who can't speak English. And he is so funny. But the film is great. It's Bill Murray goes in to rob a bank dressed as a clown. And Gina Davis and Randy Quaid are plants in the bank. So he puts all the people in the bank in the vault, makes these demands for the NYPD, and says he'll release one hostage for each demand. So you have this crowd outside in the movie surrounding the bank. And Bill Murray, his character, the clown, asks for a monster truck, a helicopter. He claims to be a war veteran who's about to lose it, and he's got the place wired with explosives. So Jason Robards, a brilliant actor, plays the chief of police and negotiates with him. And the demands are met. Every time he meets a demand, Bill Murray lets a hostage go. First it's Gina Davis, who's in on it with him, and then it's Randy Quaid, who's also in on it. And then Bill Murray is the third hostage released when the third demand is met. And he has taken off the clown suit, and he goes out like a regular guy. Brilliant. A brilliant way to rob a bank. Wish I had thought of it. But that's our first clip here from Quick Change.
The man is an animal. I mean, ripping out phones, urinating on desks. You see what he did to Miss Cochran's shirt? There's a scratch here. I mean, it's not deep, but it's there.
It's okay.
He hurt anybody else? Is the strain beginning to show on him?
If I can sleep 10 days and nights in a rice paddy, I could certainly last in this lousy bank. This is what the animal said to us. He says to Miss Cochran here, baby, up your butt with a coconut. I think he was prepared to do it. Except I saw no coconut. He had no coconut to bite out of.
No coconut. What about dynamite? Did you see any?
Any? It's everywhere. It's on him. It's on us. Hostages strapped to tables and shields. The man is an animal. He's sick.
You okay, mister?
Officer Martin?
Yes?
Take the two to the doctor, just as a precaution.
Yes, sir.
The key is, he's an animal.
That much is clear, sir.
Also, I'm repeating myself. I suppose you want to just throw me back in there with him.
It's so great. Jason Robards, when Bill Murray says, except he had no coconut, I saw no coconut to my knowledge. And Jason Robards just says, no coconut, eh? Like he's really buying in. And then this monster truck pulls up as the demand is met. And an NYPD cop gets out. And he's like 30 feet off the ground because it's this huge truck. And people start cheering and he gives the crowd a wave. It's a great film. All right, we'll have the clip next where they accidentally walk into a mob money counting facility, which is hilarious too. More Quick Change coming up next, and it's a Bar Band Friday night. Terry Barr is here in just a few minutes. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. According to a recent survey, nearly half of all Americans think you can be too old to start saving for retirement. Now listen, my 47-year-old self does not like the idea that I could ever be too old for anything. And I know for sure that the only way anyone can age out of saving for retirement is to actually retire. I mean, yes, of course, you're going to have a bigger nest egg if you start saving young, but older savers have an advantage over the younger ones. People in their 40s and 50s typically make double what their 20-something colleagues make. And the math is clear. You are younger today than you will be at any point in your future. More than half of us are behind in our retirement savings. So don't wait another minute to start. I've got a video that can help you out. Check out Work Money Media on YouTube. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes. This man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We're back on a Bar Van Friday night. Terry Barr is warming up in the bullpen to discuss the music. Boy, that she sent great stuff today. I love that song, and I cannot wait to discuss it. And then she sent kind of an offbeat cool song, too. We'll talk about that, too. That's coming up in just about 15 minutes here. She'll be here for Bar Band Friday night. We're talking about the movie Quick Change. That is the classic pick of the week on New Wisco Weekend with Lisa Hale that will air this weekend. If you have not checked out New Wisco Weekend, I implore you to give it a listen. So many great people contribute. Lisa hosts and does stories. Conrad contributes sports. Todd Michaels contributes. Terry Barr, Brittany Merlot. I do a classic movie pick of the week. And this week, my pick is Quick Change, the Bill Murray film, also starring Gina Davis and Randy Quaid. So we just heard a clip before the break about how they got out of the bank. Now their goal is just to get out of New York City. The reason Bill Murray's character, Grimm, robbed the bank was to get out of New York. He's tired of it. He hates it. He wants out. And they're on their way to Martinique with about $2 million that they have strapped to themselves. The problem is they can't get out of New York. They hit a construction zone. They go the wrong way. They get robbed themselves. Everywhere they try to hide out, something happens. It's just great. And in this particular scene, they are trying to get away from someone who could recognize them, and they walk into a mob hangout where they're counting money. Stanley Tucci is in this scene too. He plays a gangster who has the first line in the scene, and it's just beautiful. Here's part one of that scene.
This ain't my in your back.
That's a relief. We came about the money.
What that walking corpse say?
He said they come about the money.
Ask him what money, ass.
What money, ass?
Incredible. They're playing games.
Yeah.
Tell him you're gonna play games on his head.
I'm gonna play games on your head.
You must hate this warehouse. Because it's gonna be a 3-alarm job after tomorrow.
Danny. Come in.
Come in.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
We'll ask him.
You want me to ask him? Okay. Mr. Skelton wants to know how come he don't know you.
Gee. Because I'm new?
Because he's new?
Tell him Lombino didn't say nothing to me about no new bag man.
Lombino didn't say nothing.
Mr. Lombino? Huh? Mr. Lombino? Since when does a wise guy like you deserve an explanation from a giant?
like Mr. Lombino.
Mr. Lombino didn't say nothing to Mr. Skelton about
already, Johnny. Don't you see me standing right here?
Yeah, all right. I'm sorry. All right.
What happened to Mario?
Mario? Somebody dared him? So we threw Earl here out of a moving car.
Same spot he done Johnny. You must love that spot.
Man is an animal. He's sick.
All right. I'll give you the money. As soon as I call Mr. Lombino, they'll check you out.
It's so great. I mean, it's like, I remember seeing that movie for the first time, and I'm in the theater, and I'm like, how are they going to get out of this? And Bill Murray just starts making stuff up like he's there to pick up the money. It's just so beautiful. And here is the second part of that scene where they get off scot-free and have to get back out into the city and find their way out of town.
Fine.
Actually,
perfect. I can hear Mr. Lombino now. Skelton just called me to check on Chip.
Mr. Lombino, please. Skelton.
I guess Chip wasn't so hot. Guess I'll have to put that animal, Mario, back on Skelton.
No. Wait, Uncle Mike? Mr. Skelton, wait a minute. We don't want Mario to come and hear that big bald giant with the stupid sunglasses knocking everybody around for kicks. I mean, nobody's stupid enough to do this for a few K. They gotta know that Mario's gonna come after them and pull out their livers. I mean, you know. I think that I might be right on this, so, you know.
$6,000. Short shipment.
Yeah. Well, Earl.
You know, when I first heard the rumors about Lombino being back in town, I said, no way. I mean, a man never leaves his haven in Nevada. But now that I see you, I know it must be true. He's come to put his house in order. And that's why the man is king.
Yes.
Drugs, protection, you name it. Lombino is king. tell me, sis.
Yeah. Anything that Lombino touches turns to gold. King Lombino. That's why he's the king. Right? Tell him I said so.
I will, John.
Okay. See you later. All right. Bye. Take care of your head.
Oh, that's great. So they get away. Now they're back on the street, and they hail a cab. They get lucky because they can't find a cab. They have to get to the airport. They're about to miss their flight, and they run into – do we not have enough time? All right, we'll save this for the end of the show. We're going to save our Tony Shalhoub clip from Quick Change till the end of the show. It's brilliant. It's great, and we'll do that after Barman Friday. So are we ready? Is Terry you think Terry's ready to come on the show after the news?
I think she's got a couple more pitches to throw to warm up, but then she's just got to, we got to call her out of the bullpen.
I appreciate that she does the calisthenics every night just to, you know, a few medicine balls, some toe touches just to get ready. We have a great show coming up next week that I just want to start plugging now. It's Wednesday night at 6:35. Two friends of mine, Steve Rudnick and Leo Benvenuti, will be here. They were part of a truly famous comedy team in Chicago around the time I started doing stand-up. They were very well known. They left about a year after I started doing stand-up, and they went and they started writing for the new Carol Burnett show, the Dennis Miller show, and they went on to write the Santa Claus, Space Jam, and Kicking and Screaming. They're just brilliant comedy writers and a terrific stand-up comedy duo. They don't really do that anymore. But it was a pleasure to work on stuff with them, and I'm very excited to have them on the show Wednesday night. So two comedy giants at 6:35 next Wednesday. All right, when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, it is Bar Band Friday night with our old pal, not our old pal, our young pal, our young at heart pal, Terry Barr. She's going to be here in just a few minutes after Civic Media award-winning news keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. CBS News Brief. The death toll from Hurricane Helene has now reached 45. The storm caused flooding throughout the southeast. Alan Matthews lives in Mountain Island, North Carolina.
I've seen trees floating in the water, but I would imagine the next couple of days there's going to be a ton of trees, a ton of debris. And I've just never seen the water that high.
In Douglas, Arizona, Vice President Kamala Harris talked about border security, an issue former President Donald Trump has hammered the Biden administration on.
And so we must reform our immigration system to ensure that it works in an orderly way, that it is humane, and that it makes our country stronger.
Israeli fighter jets pounded areas around the Lebanese capital, Beirut, overnight and this morning. Israel is now claiming it killed Hezbollah's longtime leader, Hassan Nasrallah. The streets of Beirut's southern suburbs are empty, and smoke has been rising as the sun came up. The UN says more than 211,000 people have been displaced. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Bucky heads west. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Wisconsin Badgers take on USC today as UW tries to rebound from a loss to Alabama 2 weeks ago. Head coach Luke Fickell said he expects to start making big plays the rest of the season.
That's the thing that I think gets lost in the whole grand scheme of things, right? I mean, you know, that it's some special play that you call. No, it's called execution.
Kickoff today is at 2:30 p.m. You can stream the game on the free Civic Media app on WRJN, WRCE, WFHR, or WLAK, or listen on any of those stations live today. The Brewers, who are locked into the NL's third seed, defeated a potential playoff opponent, the New York Mets, 8-4 on Friday. The playoffs begin Tuesday for the Brewers in the wild card round. The Green Bay Packers play tomorrow against the Minnesota Vikings. Starting quarterback Jordan Love is listed as questionable for the game. He's missed two games with an MCL sprain. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about talking about money and why we got to do it, even though it's something we really don't want to do. In our culture, we're almost conditioned, like trained, not to discuss it. You know, it's impolite, it can make people uncomfortable, it could cause conflict. Well, I'm here to say that not talking about money makes it harder to solve money problems, harder to ask for a raise, harder to figure out and talk about what we want in life. Look, if you want to make more money and you want to get better at your money, you got to talk about your money. So let me start with a suggestion that I saw once on a shoebox. Just do it. Find a trustworthy friend or a family member and just talk to them about what's nagging you about your money. Now, you might not solve everything, but I bet you'll make some headway, and I promise it gets easier and better every time. For more money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Take good care.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Lots of sunshine today. Highs around 80 degrees. Clear tonight. Lows around 51. Sunshine and upper 70s for Sunday. On Monday, sunny 78 and then turning cooler for Tuesday. Sunshine with a high near 62. 63 Wednesday.
Right now, it's 55.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Spoiler alert, both major political parties are trying to minimize the impact of voters choosing third-party candidates in the 2024 election. What could fix the spoiler effect and allow third-party candidates to still compete? Ranked choice voting. CBS News and the Wall Street Journal report that Green Party candidate Jill Stein accepted in-kind assistance from Republican-affiliated lawyers to keep herself on the ballot in Wisconsin and be restored to the ballot in Nevada in hopes of siphoning off votes from Kamala Harris. Earlier this summer, Democrats sued to keep Robert F. Kennedy Jr. off the ballot in five states. Though he suspended his candidacy, Kennedy remains on the ballot in 33 states. Ranked choice voting allows third-party candidates like Stein, Kennedy, and Libertarian Chase Oliver to compete without the spoiler effect. Voters could, for example, rank Stein first, Harris second, and Oliver third. In ranked choice, if a candidate has a 50% plus one majority, he or she wins outright. If there is no 50% plus one majority, the lowest vote getter is eliminated, voter second choices are used, and totals are recalculated. The process continues until the winning candidate reaches a 50% plus one majority. Only Alaska and Maine will use ranked choice for presidential voting this year, but five states are considering RCV ballot measures in November. We have more on ranked choice at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Pat Kreitlow. Monday morning on Up North News Radio, State Senator Kelderoy's on how Republicans just keep digging a bigger hole when it comes to women's reproductive health care rights.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Time to check out original music with Bar Band Friday on Nightlight. Now your host, Pete Schwabba, and special guest, Terry Barr.
Let's just get at it. Terry's here. The co-host of Max Inc. Radio joins us now for Bar Band Friday night, which has fast become my favorite night of the week here at Nightlight. Terry Barr. Terry, how are you?
Let's light it up, Pete and Conrad.
We light it up every night here. That's what we do.
I know. Hey, I have to commend you. It was terrific. Your recent interview with the author of the new unauthorized biography of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Wow, that was fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't he great? He was so insightful and just so, he was such a journalist. Like, I could not tell if he liked or disliked Aaron Rodgers. And I loved that. He just really was reporting what it was, you know, it was great.
And I love that he did not give up on the opportunity to find a way to sit down with him. Even for just a few minutes, he just kept going at it, and he finally made it happen. What a great story.
Yeah, and Rodgers caved. He sat down.
Well, there had to be some curiosity factor there.
Yeah, I would think so. Well, especially if you're a guy who's written books about Bill Belichick, Derek Jeter, Coach K, and now you're doing one about Aaron Rodgers, you would think Rodgers would want to sit down with him and go, all right, well, I better. But also, he probably heard about Ian O'Connor's reputation, like that he didn't do these guys dirty or anything. So he probably, I don't know, it was in his best interest, I guess, to sit down with him.
Good. Yeah. Well, great interview.
Well,
and if anybody hasn't heard it, they should go look up your podcast of it.
We had, you know what? Thank you. And it was really, he was a very good interview. But I do want to say, Terry, we were talking at the beginning of the show about how you're always so upbeat and you're energetic. And I was like, she's always like the most upbeat guest we have. And Conrad pointed out that we had Charo on the show on Wednesday. So.
Oh, I can't be Charlo. Are you kidding me?
Well, it's an anomaly, though. It's a one-week thing. You're still our sunshiny, upbeat guest.
Oh, my gosh. Fun. Okay, now I'm going to go look for that podcast because I didn't get to hear your interview with Charlo.
Oh, she was fun. She was so – she's so energetic at her age. I think she's 73. And she just like – it could have been 1982. She was just as energetic as she was then.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and you just try to keep up with her. And the next day I told Conrad, I think I have a Charo hangover. Like it was – she's that – her personality is that infectious and energetic. It was really lovely. She was great.
Did she hoochie-coochie?
She did. You know, here's what's – the problem in society today. I asked her about coochie coochie. Very innocent question. Every talk show she goes on, they ask her about that. Now she kind of has to say it's not sexual. There's nothing. It's about a dog she had when she was a kid. And it was just kind of this sweet thing. But, you know, eventually every word you say has something to do with sex. So she kind of had to explain.
Anyway. Poor Charo.
Yeah. You know, she's doing okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so, well, it's great to have you again. I know you've got – I just have to ask you before we get to the music. All week, you know, when I'm in the car, I have Civic Media on, and I love your slice of Wisconsin, but I've been hearing tidbits all week. I hear Ishwaubenon and liquor license. Curly Lambeau passed away. And I'm like, wait a minute. I never have heard the whole thing, so I don't ever do this, but can you give us a personal performance of that? I want to know what the story is about, because I keep missing it. It sounds interesting. I keep getting little teasers.
Ah, the one that you are referring to, The Slice of Wisconsin,
yeah,
is about Lambeau Field.
Okay.
And where is it located? Green Bay or Ashwaubenon?
Oh.
Yeah?
I would say Green Bay because it's Green Bay, right? I used to think it was Ashwaubenon, but I think technically it's Green Bay?
It is Green Bay.
Okay.
But Green Bay had to go after Ashwaubenon to be able to get that land to then incorporate it into Green Bay. And there's a couple of other things behind it because obviously they wanted it to be Green Bay. They also wanted to have liquor sales, which at that time Ashwaubenon could not have liquor sales at Lambeau Field.
Okay.
They needed the parking lots, and that needed to come along with Lambeau Field. So it's just really a whole study on how that all became Lambeau Field for the Green Bay Packers.
That's great. They should be the Green Bay Packers. Like, I know in a city like New York, they play in New Jersey, or
right,
LA, they play in Anaheim. They're such huge megalopolises. We should be able to have the Packers play in Green Bay, even if Green Bay has to bully Ashwaubenon a little bit or figure out some deal where they get it back. That's a great story.
And they did.
Yeah, and they did.
And
exactly.
It's all good. Although they just keep buying up all the property around there, which is really interesting to watch. We laughed because when we lived there, we could have probably bought one of those houses for less than $100,000.
Oh,
and now they're selling for who knows whatever the going rate is.
They're selling to very rich people who use them 8 weeks out of the year. Isn't
exactly.
that crazy?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you for the recap. All week I'm like, boy, wait, what did she say? Because I get distracted. I never heard the whole thing. So all right. So, okay.
I got you covered.
Yeah. You have two great songs, very different.
Yeah.
And two different bands. So tell us, is one of these two bands on Max Inc. tomorrow night, or what are we thinking?
Yeah, let's start with Lake Waves Trio, because this is a group that is just so different than anything you expect. Yes, they will be our live in studio guests tomorrow night from 9 to 10 o'clock. And again, you know, we're across the whole Civic Media Radio Network. But this band, the leader is Graham Marlowe, and he plays the keyboard. And they describe themselves as groove-based jazz rock celestial originals, and very soundscapey background.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it sounds like. Once I found how they described it, I couldn't figure out a way to describe it, and there it is.
That's really good. All right, with that description in mind, let's go right into the song so people can translate what Terry just said to the actual music. This is Lake Waves Trio, Coffee Meets Bagel Meets One Night Stand.
Thank you.
Okay, so here's what I'm picturing. Before that kind of funky piano or whatever it is in the middle of that, I picture like a guy or girl going to get coffee and a bagel and coming home and going, oh, I was with someone last night. Like they didn't notice that when they left. And that's when the funky kind of music starts up. I don't know. That's my own interpretation. Tell us what's going on.
I was worried the two of you were taking a nap because it's kind of relaxing.
It's pretty chill. It has like a jazz fusion type sound to it.
Yeah. Yep.
That's interesting. So that's okay. So that, what did they call that again? It was like a, you said it before. It was a jazz.
Groove-based jazz rock. Celestial. Okay. Soundscapey backgrounds.
So is all their music like that?
Yes.
But some of it's more upbeat, I would assume, or?
Yeah, and every single song that they do has a funky name. And I don't know if the funky name is supposed to put the idea in your head of what that song looks like.
Yeah.
But it worked for you.
Well, that's kind of where I always go. I'm like, what picture would look good with this music or this soundtrack, so to speak. And it worked for me. And because at first we were like, it's a little elevator-y, and then it's like, no. Then it kind of finds another level in there. It's kind of cool. I liked it.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. Something different, you know?
So we don't have time to play the whole song before the break. The next song is Burning Bridges. This is a kind of a rocker. This is a great song.
Yeah.
Very different than what we just heard. Shekinah King. Give us a little bit about her background, and then we'll play her song after the break.
That sounds great. Well, she released this first on Max Inc. Radio last weekend.
Oh, nice.
And the story of the song, and I was appalled when she said this. Someone came up to her at one of her live shows and basically told her she was a terrible musician.
Oh, dear.
So she said, I don't know if I like the way I reacted to that person. So instead, I took my reaction and I put it in a song. And now she looks for this person at her shows because she actually wants to thank him for making her mad enough to write this song.
Did she like tell him off or something the first time? And that's how she burned a bridge? Because the song is called Burning Bridges.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Then I could tell you a little bit more if we have a minute. Otherwise, I can wait till after the break.
We have exactly a minute, please.
Okay. She's now working on a video. And in the video, everybody is wearing name tags, you know, like Hateful, Addicted, all labels. And in the video, they put these name tags on a bridge and then they burn the bridge down. Oh, very symbolic. I cannot wait to see it. It's not out, but she told us all about it.
So is she from Wisconsin?
She is from Wisconsin. Currently, she is actually in southern Wisconsin, Janesville area.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So she's from here. She tours around here. And you've got her. She was on last week. And we are going to hear Burning Bridges when we come back. It's a Bar Band Friday night, ladies and gentlemen. Terry Barr is here bringing us the sweet, sweet music. We're coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. But isn't she lovely?
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Freezing your credit sounds drastic, but it's not. In fact, freezing your credit is one of the best ways you can protect yourself from identity theft. Freezing your credit doesn't stop your credit score from going up or down. It's just a way to make sure that nobody can open an account in your name, not even you, without removing your freeze first. So to freeze your credit, you just contact each of the three major credit bureaus and you request a credit freeze. Just search up the term credit freeze and you'll find the phone numbers and websites where you can get it all done. And don't worry, you can always unfreeze your credit when you need to apply for new credit, like a loan or something, by contacting each bureau again. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org or text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285.
Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Terry Barr is with us on a Bar Band Friday night, helping us wind down the last few minutes of our show here before we start our weekends. Terry, so, all right, so let's get to the song so we can discuss. This is the song Burning Bridges by Shekinah King. Am I saying that right?
Yep, you got it.
All right, and Terry will give us a little more information on the other side of Burning Bridges.
Games that you play don't mean anything. Forgiveness is key. Forgive and forget. I'll walk away instead. I'll forgive and forget you. I'll forgive and forget you. I'm gonna burn those bridges down. Burn those bridges down. Nothing to confuse your thoughts of me. Oh, your words are mindless. They roll off your tongue like ashes in the sun. My ideas are debris from this burning that you see. I'll forgive and forget you. Oh, I'll forgive and forget you. I'm gonna burn those bridges down. Down.
The end of that song is awesome.
Isn't that great?
I love that grinding guitar at the end. That's fantastic.
Oh, and imagine what this is going to be like with the video where they're taking these name tags off that have all these, you know, horrible descriptions of what people think of each other, the bad ways, and they put it on this bridge and they light it on fire.
That is fantastic.
Yes.
So was she live in the lair, last week?
No, she brought this song in to allow us to play it first.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yep. So we did a little interview. She brought the song, and she's got a new CD that's coming out, but wanted to share this song with everybody first, which I thought was marvelous.
I love it. She would be, if she's even close to Madison, next time I'm there, Terry, I would love to have her in.
I bet she would do it too. She's terrific.
I know. I liked Katie Scullin so much. Every time I go to Madison, I'm like, oh, I should have Katie. Well, it's like, well, I got to let a little time go by. But
she'll be thinking, what?
Yeah.
Pete?
What does he think I am? A house band? hey, before we let you go, we just have a few seconds. Do you have a prediction? The Packers have a tough one this weekend with the Vikings. The K-Man will be there.
That is awesome. He's going to have a good time, but I sure hope he's cheering for the Packers. We've got to do this, right? We're on a roll with the backup quarterback, so let's keep it going.
All right. Terry says the Packers are going to win, Conrad. There you go.
I believe it.
You got to do your part now when you're at the game on Sunday. So
please, Conrad.
Right. I will cheer. I will cheer.
Okay. Excellent.
Terry, thanks so much. Always fun to do Bar Band Friday night with you. We couldn't do it with anybody else. And have a great weekend.
You guys too. Go Packers.
All right. Fantastic. That's Terry Barr. And another edition of Bar Band Friday Night. Check out Terry's work in New Wisco Weekend this weekend. Like we were talking about before. Great show. And, it was fun tonight. Thank you to Terry Barr. Thanks to J.B. Thompson, the guy behind the guy. Thank you for all your texts. So much fun. We'll be back to do it again on Monday with Dan Davies and Craig Kinnett. They'll be here. I'm trying to get Frank in.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, very excited to have Lee McGowan, the politics girl, is going to join us as we break down the upcoming 2024 presidential election. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Spotlight will focus on Governor Tim Walz and Senator J.D. Vance Tuesday night, October 1st. Listen here as the vice presidential candidates debate issues important to you.
Go to the polls as a parent. You should have more power.
A belief that one person can make a difference.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. Special coverage starts at 7:45 p.m. Then listen to the CBS vice presidential debate live at 8, Tuesday, October 1st, here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.